The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon. How are you on this Tuesday afternoon? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. For anything that's on your mind today. We spoke to Gavin James last week and he was doing a concert from his sitting room live on Facebook or WhatsApp or something like that. Anyway, he was doing it to raise funds for a loan and he has raised to date €36,000. So well done to Gavin James and everybody who donated to him. And all those proceeds are going to a loan. And I see that Leo Varadkar paid a visit to a loan yesterday. We were there last week, a week ahead of him. And they're providing a great service because we've been told over and over again that the elderly in our community are the ones who could be worse hit by this. And there's a lot of anxiety and fear out there. So Alone are providing a calming and listening ear. Can you have a calming ear? And the number is 0818 222 024. 0818 222 024. And that's a special Alone coronavirus line there that's open to you if you wish to ring them. And well done again to Gavin James. 36,000, nothing to be sneezed at. So, yeah, the Olympic Games have been postponed till next year, not later than summer 2021, they've announced. They've spent more than $12 billion on the event in Japan. And Goldman Sachs have estimated this month that Japan would lose $4.5 billion in inbound and domestic consumption in 2020 if and when, and now it is when, the Olympics were cancelled. So the biggest sporting event in the world, it only comes around every 4 years, has been cancelled, postponed, and still we have horse racing in this country. I left that silence there for you. Just. So last night, Boris Johnson, as he continues to do a ginormous U-turn on his attitude to the coronavirus, has introduced a lockdown. And we're going to have more information from our government just after 4 o'clock. And we'll be making way for that press conference, which they say is going to come from the government at 4 o'clock today or thereabouts. And just looking at what they've said in Great Britain. So they're saying it's going to last 3 weeks. So the things that will remain open, this is in Britain now, not in Ireland, in Britain. Parks, supermarkets, food shops, health shops, pharmacies, petrol stations, bicycle shops, home and hardware stores, laundrettes and dry cleaners, car rentals, pet shops, corner shops, news agents, post offices and banks. So they'll remain open. This is in Great Britain, which includes Northern Ireland, of course. Orders to close restaurants, cafes, workplace canteens, pubs, bars and nightclubs, hair, beauty and nail salons, piercing and tattoo parlours, massage parlours, auction houses, car showrooms, caravan parks, libraries, playgrounds, outdoor gyms, all shops selling non-essential goods, including clothing and electronic stores. And I heard Fergal Bauer say that, and I was saying it at home this morning. What's the definition of non-essential when it comes to services and non-essential workers, non-essential shops? What else are closed? Community centres, churches, mosques, places of worship, cinemas, museums and galleries, bingo halls, casinos, spas, skating rinks, gyms, swimming pools, playgrounds. There you go. And the list goes on and on and on. And then leaving home. So I'd imagine our government are looking to what they've done elsewhere in the world for guidance and ideas. So this is what they did in the UK. Shopping for basic necessities as infrequently as possible, to say. You can take one form of exercise a day, alone or with members of your household. So you can go for a run, a walk or a cycle, just one a day. Now, how are they going to police that? Dog walking is permitted as part of the one form of exercise people can take a day. You can go out to look after any medical need, to donate blood. Under 18s of separated parents can visit both homes. You can travel to and from work, but only where it is absolutely necessary and cannot be done from home. And there's a list of essential work. I didn't print that off. I must go back to that. I heard that lady talking to Joe, and she works in the BBC, and they've been deemed to be essential. And social events that are banned in the UK for the next 3 weeks: weddings, baptisms and other events, including sporting events, visiting members you do not live with. So there you go. So 4 o'clock today where there will be an announcement from the government, and they will specify how things are going to change for us all. Some people are saying it's going to be lockdown in Ireland. Other people are saying it won't be. I see in France you can exercise once a day. You can exercise once a day for not more than an hour, and you can't go further than 1 kilometer from your home. Again, how are those things policed? I don't know. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Christy Dignam is going to talk to us today, and as you know, Christy has cancer, so his immune system is compromised, and he's had a rough time over the last couple of weeks. So we'll talk to him later on the show. And we've an exclusive from Catherine Thomas, because Operation Transformation is being transformed. Transformation, Operation Transformation. And she has details of that. And it's going to be back on our screens quicker than you would have thought. So that's coming up as well. And our quiz. I better give you the details of today's quiz. Yeah, it's day two of our All-Ireland quiz. We did the draw last week, so the pairings for our round one quizzes are available there. Yesterday, Ellen won for Leitrim, bringing her and her county into round two. It's all very exciting. At the end, we will have our All-Ireland quiz champions. It's a general knowledge quiz, 5 questions each. 1 point for each correct answer. Little twist, you'll become very familiar with this over the next few weeks. But for the final of the 5 questions, you have a goal option. And of course, as you know, for a goal you get 3 points. So that's going to be very decisive in some of our quizzes. That's a nod to our national game. Today, Donegal take on Mayo. So if you were born or live in Donegal or Mayo, you can step up to the plate now and fly the flag for your county. Call us now, 1850 715900. That's 1850 715900. Donegal and Mayo. Oh, yeah, that'll bring a smile to your face. Reassurance. China is sort of slowly but surely getting back to normal. Hubei City are allowing people out to work, and they're relaxing the social distancing rules that they introduced. And they did a good job of flattening the curve. And we're in the middle of that now, but I suppose it's reassuring to see that they're out the other side 3 months on. Loads of people are doing loads of things to keep us entertained. Our children were doing a Joe Wicks workout this morning. He does one live every morning for children, so that's something you might want to get into. Zig and Zag are posting clips from the glory days of Dempsey's Den and The Den and Den TV. And they have a clip up there at the moment. We'll tag it or attach it to our website as well, of an emotional fish with an unrecognisable Jerry Fish singing, "Celebrate, the party's over, I'm going home." So that's there as well. And loads of people doing loads of things. And if you're doing something that you want us to tell the nation about, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Anne was onto us at that email address. She says, "I have my radio on in the background while at work since the beginning of COVID-19. I've been listening more intently to your programme. I'm really overwhelmed by people phoning in, various people talking on your show, in particular trying to come up with ideas to entertain children on how to amuse themselves while not in school, etc., etc. I smile when I think of myself at that age. I was born in the 1950s, so I am probably elderly to a lot of people listening. I've worked all my life, as my husband has, and also reared 3 children. We've always taken pride in our garden. I think it is very important to have your garden looking well, particularly at this time of the year. People should take more pride in their garden," says Anne, "not only because of the spare time you have due to COVID-19, but because it makes our countryside look more beautiful. As for trying to keep children occupied, children learn very, very quickly how to use phones, tablets, etc., etc., probably too early. See if they can learn to use their imagination as quickly. I know the days, weeks and months were not long enough for me when I was off school, and there were millions like me back then. We only came in for meals. Give it a try. You may just enjoy it. Of course, we can't let them out loose, and that's the problem, because of social distancing, and you can't trust children to stay away from each other because we're social animals, as I say, we're drawn to each other. Yeah, but 6 feet apart or somebody you know and love could be 6 feet under. That's the thing, isn't it? Will you please wish happy birthday to my nephew Seamus Dwyer on his 21st birthday today? He's my hero and the bravest, most courageous, inspirational person is Seamus. He listens to your show every day and his brilliant mother, Mary, they listen in the kitchen while looking out at the birds and their alpacas in the garden. Oh, look at you, pure posh Seamus, alpacas in the garden. I'm so sorry I cannot be there to celebrate this great milestone with the family, and I'm missing Seamus's gorgeous bright smile, and I'm looking forward to seeing his beautiful heartwarming smile soon. Best wishes to Seamus, Mam, Dad, and Eugene and brother Michael. Have a great day and keep safe and happy. So does it give the details of that person's name? They know who it is anyway. They know who it is. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I met a friend for a walk this morning, keeping our distance as recommended. During our hour walk, three different joggers at different stages jogged between us. By the way, we are in the high-risk area. No respect whatsoever shown to us as we were doing what we have been asked to do, says Anne. I am a jogger, runner, but I keep my social distance. And if somebody's coming towards me, I stop, step aside, let them pass. If I run, make sure there's 6 feet, and everybody should do that. We're all in this together. Ray, are off licences non-essential? I don't know. I suppose you can get booze in supermarkets. Now, 20 years ago, my wife as a teenager won a competition writing a jingle for the Irish Kidney Foundation. You awarded her with a snazzy 3CD hi-fi system as a prize, did I? The next day, she discovered she had glandular fever and went into self-isolation for 3 months. Anyway, 20 years later, here we are in this situation. Didn't we dust off the hi-fi yesterday and it's still working great? If we go on lockdown, at least we can dance around the kitchen. Shannon and Jessica in Galway. Dancing is hugely important. So I've put together a sort of, it's not your what you'd call conventional dance music. It's that sort of music that you throw yourself around to. Not stuff that you'd hear in a nightclub. And we'll release it on Friday on Spotify. It's called the Stuck In Playlist. I think it's a good one. But anyway, we all have our dancing songs, don't we? Dancing's hugely important. Too many people out and about. I walked into a supermarket in Dundrum today. The place was packed. People shoulder to shoulder. I walked out as quick. We need to be locked down with strict rules, not guidelines. And as Leo Varadkar has said, and I've heard the clip repeated over and over again, they're taking advice from the National Public Health Committee, and they're not going to be led by Twitterati or whatever. And that advice was given to them this morning. Actually, Simon Harris said what happened. I heard this clip on the news at one.
So the National Public Health Emergency Team has just concluded its meeting and they've made a series of recommendations. I'll be bringing those recommendations to the Cabinet meeting this morning and government will make announcements accordingly later. I just want to say there is a massive national effort underway in our country to keep our people safe, to keep our people well. The Irish people are making huge sacrifices and are really doing all that they can in communities right across the country, and I want to thank them for that. What government wants to do is support them in that national effort to make sure that, as I say, we can keep our people safe.
Yeah, and that announcement will be after 4 o'clock and we will make way for that. What about golf clubs? My golf club is chock-a-block. One member who came back from Spain last week was out playing on the course with two visitors. No self-isolation for him. The golf clubs in the north are all closed now. I would think they should be closed. And Ray, would you say a big hi to Grace and Gavin in Macroom, who are currently making a shepherd's pie? They're doing the dinner every day and it's great. Shepherd's pie. And why not bring back Glen Rowe for the duration of the pandemic, says Ewan. Look, as I said yesterday, Reeling in the Years of 1971 was on at 8:30 on Sunday night. So why not Glen Rowe? If they're listening over and scheduling, they might take heed of that suggestion, Ewan. Go to the archives and bring out the old programmes. The problem with that is that they may not be as good as we remember them. But we'd probably get a laugh out of it anyway. Anyway, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Aslan and Crazy World and David Merriman has put together a Reeling in the Ears type video, which has that as the soundtrack, and then clips from all over the world reporting on what we're going through at the moment. And it's a very powerful piece of video. And we'll be talking to Christy and asking him why they put that together when we talk to him in about 20 minutes' time. Will you please call out the number for a loan again? It's 0818 222 024. 0818 222 024. And Niamh and I were down there last week and we eavesdropped on some of the calls that were coming in. And what struck us most was how calm everybody was who were taking the calls. And people sometimes just need somebody at the other end of the line to reassure them. And that's exactly what the people at Alone were doing, and they're doing a great job. Here's something that we could all do to help relieve the boredom if we are locked into our homes for a while. FutureMe.org lets you write a letter to yourself and have it emailed back to you in 1, 3 or 5 years' time. As well as occupying a bit of time, now it seems a certainty that anything we write about in the current crazy world, there you go, crazy world, would certainly make interesting reading for all of us at a future date when hopefully all of this awfulness will be firmly behind us and part of our history instead of our future. The website again is futureme.org. Thanks for that, Sean. It allows you to write a letter that you will receive back to yourself in 1, 3 or 5 years' time. As Chris Hadfield was saying yesterday, we have very short memories, and we know that we are now appreciating things we took for granted, but how long will that last? And we know that we're all in this together and we're pulling together as a community, but how long will that last, you know? So anyway, it'd be interesting to see what you'd write now, how you'd feel about it in 5 years' time. For the past 2 weeks, I've been WhatsApping what I call a feel-good song of the day to my family and friends. Today it's Rockin' Robin. They love this idea and look forward to seeing what upbeat song is next. Brendan and Leash. Get on with it.
He rocks in the treetop all day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin.
You'd have to smile. You'd have to smile, Brendan. Good choice. Say hello to Robbie. He's painting the kitchen at the minute. How you doing, Robbie? Bring back Trumpet City, says Geraldine. Bring back Halls Victoria Weekly. Folk would stay in just to watch Pat Daly, Eamon Morrissey, Frank Kelly, Ballymagash, Urban District Council, etc. Boys, oh boys, Johnny and Kinsale. Ray, the first responders and defence forces are doing an excellent job. Just saw the fire brigade engine getting a round of applause from people at a bus stop on the Crumlin Road. Great to see some appreciation, says Neil. That's great, isn't it? Wanderly Wagon with Judge and Mr. Crow. That's from JD, aged 51. You should know better, JD.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for your text now. Operation Transformation is to get its own transformation, and tell us all about it. Is Catherine Thomas who's on the line. How are you doing, Catherine?
I'm good, Ray, and yourself?
Good, good. But before we get to the big announcement, how are things in your house?
Yeah, we're good. We are in flying form, thank God. We had about 2 weeks where myself and Ellie were both feeling very poorly and quite sick. So I just, you know, presumed that it was a cough or a cold that she got in creche, but it turned into like flu-like symptoms, you know. Mm. But that was a fortnight ago, and we just did the self-isolation thing, stayed away from everybody, and we didn't have, again, you know, there was no coughing and no no fever, you know, neither of us had that. So I think it was just unfortunate timing. But yes, again, just to be just to, you know, take every precaution, we self-isolated. And I mean, well, there's so many different terms now. We made sure we got out for a socially distanced walk every day.
but it must have crossed your mind, did it, Catherine, that you at some stage...
Of course, you know, yeah. And in a way, just because it had gone on for 10 days in a way that I thought I was sort of saying, you know, I hoped I'd had it. So that we wouldn't have to get it, and we were feeling that miserable. But look, we're both great now. Great. We're both fine, and
What age is Ellie now?
She's two. She was two yesterday. We had a little birthday party for her.
She is not two.
She is two, Ray. Oh my God!
Lord.
And so we had a little party for her yesterday, and I just, when she was in the bed asleep, I got all her teddy bears down, and we set up a huge party for her. There was about 30 teddy bears at the table, and we had the teddy bears picnic music playing. I think she thinks we're mental. God love her. I think she just thinks this is...
That's lovely.
But, you know, it was a good idea. And the amount of messages, I put a little picture up on Instagram, and the amount of moms who actually messaged me back and said, my little Smalley is turning 2 or 3 or 4 next week or the week after. And, you know, with the announcement that's coming at 4 o'clock today, who knows what's going to happen. So it's just to come up with ideas, I think, that... try and make the abnormal normal as much as possible. Do you know what I mean?
And you, like, you can't meet any grandparents or anything like that, so it's tough, isn't it?
It is. I have to say, I did have a little tear yesterday. I did, when I saw her there with all her teddies and everything, and then she just said, where's Granddad? My father has figured out how to FaceTime, and I think that's... There's good in all of this as well. Do you know what I mean? And my girls, my best friends, they live all around the world, and we did a FaceTime the other night. We did a Google Hangout, which I hadn't done before.
Nice.
I was a sort of a Zoom person for business. So we had Sally in New York. We had Circa in London, and then Jill and Barbara, myself here in Ireland. And we've been living apart for 20 years, and we've never done a conversation like that online before. We said, why have we not done it, you know?
Because I was talking to my mum, and she was saying she's getting calls from people who haven't called her in years. It's odd. I think people feel the need.
We stopped calling people.
Yes, we did.
I mean, it was always either a text or a voice, one of those voice notes. Actually, people didn't, you know, and now I think there's just this re-emergence of actually one-to-one
connecting,
human voices.
Connecting with people, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. This happened very quickly, didn't it? The transformation, operation transformation. Yeah. So what's the plan?
So the plan is we are bringing Operation Transformation back. It is going to be on screens in mid-April. And essentially, we're calling the show Operation COVID Nation.
Right.
And essentially, this was a conversation that happened between the HSE, RTE, VIP, who are the production company that make the show, myself and the experts on the show. And essentially, look, I think it was agreed that it was an idea, it was a good idea for people to have a weekly platform where they could stay connected, see what's happening in different households, how different households are coping with a new norm. And I suppose that's what we're all trying to do. There's no such thing as college and school and work and recreation and transport. Everything has changed for everybody, and different households are coping with it in different ways. And I suppose what we've tried to do for the last 13 years on Operation Transformation is help people to, you know, yes, there was a weight loss element to the show, but really it is about health and wellness for body and mind. And I think now more than ever, as everybody is adapting to these new norms, we need a weekly platform like that. And I think that's what this program wants to be. And how I was describing it to a friend this morning on the phone is, you know, the way if you are feeling stressful about something or if you're feeling overwhelmed about something, you generally can pick up the phone to a friend or a dad or your hubby or your wife and say, listen, I'm having a hard time. But the fact of the matter is everybody is going through this together. Yes. And I think there's fear in the fact that it's changing by not just by the day, but by the hour. And I think to have a platform like Operation Transformation, where you've got Carl and Sumi and Aoife and Eddie, our four experts across their four professions of medicine, psychology, nutrition and fitness, to have those experts every week keep people up to date, give households different pieces of advice. So essentially what we're looking for, because different households are going through this in different ways. So a retired couple who are self-isolating are having an entirely different experience with, you know, two parents with five teenagers living in the house who are trying to keep them in, to friends who are living together, people from overseas who are here who can't get home. You know, myself, who's living with one child in the house as a toddler, I don't have to homeschool. I'm trying to work from home. So there's every different household.
Loads of different permutations, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we want to do is get four households on a weekly basis. We want to set cameras up in their homes. There'll be minimal cameras. It'll be in the sitting room and the kitchen, essentially. There'll be no cameras in the bedrooms or the bathrooms. But it's to put a light into people's homes and see how they're coping with this new norm.
Okay.
So that's the idea. We're looking for households. We're looking for families, as I said, couples, maybe people who have their elderly parents living with them, maybe a flat share together of teenagers or students, people living with teenagers. So essentially what we'd like to do is get a cross-section of society to represent different households dealing with this in different ways. And what we'll do is install unmanned cameras. So this will all happen in the next sort of fortnight, that will all be done adhering to social distancing guidelines. So somebody will come in, set the cameras up, they'll have no contact with the householders themselves, and then the cameras then will be edited from outside, you know,
remotely. Yeah. So you're looking for people to volunteer, rte.ie/OT. The application form is there. It's really straightforward. And they'll be asking you to do a 2-minute video as well, just to show who's in the house.
You apply by just uploading your video. And there will be, just to say as well, there will be an appearance fee for this as well. I'm not actually sure what it is. And also, just to say, if people are self-isolating, the crew, like, we can take over all of that, you know, shopping and getting stuff for you.
Yes.
So, but I suppose it's just it's an experiment in one way, but also it's reassurance as well for people to kind of try and normalise what's going on in a world that's very unnormal for people, if that's a word.
Yeah, no, I think it's reassuring, oddly, for people to hear and see that other people are having the same challenges as they
Absolutely.
Are having. So we are
Absolutely.
All in this together, and that's what's
Absolutely.
Going.
Absolutely. And I think, just going back as well, I mean, we want to make it entertaining as well. So we're working on kind of challenges for people, and you know, I'll be kind of manning that part of the show. But for us, for me as well, you've got to remember the hope in this, you know. And what I see, I know what might possibly happen at 4 o'clock today, you know. But what I'm seeing when I'm just back out running myself, because you know I wasn't training and I wasn't keeping fit. But now I'm looking and seeing all these people online who are taking up exercise. Kids, as you said, your kids doing the Joe Wicks workouts.
Yeah.
There is some good. There's so much good coming out of this, and we want to reflect that in the program
Great.
As well.
Okay, so it's Operation COVID Nation.
Operation COVID Nation. It'll be on screens in mid-April, but we're looking for households to apply within the next sort. Well, from today onwards, and we'll be making the decision. This is going to happen very fast.
Yes.
So we want people to apply as quickly as we can. Or if anyone's listening who knows somebody who you think would be ideal for this, get in touch.
Okay, brilliant. Catherine, mind yourself. Stay safe.
You too, Ray.
Okay, great talking to you. Bye
you
now.
Too. Thanks a million.
That's Catherine Thomas there. Operation COVID Nation, rte.ie/OT. And they're looking for 4 families. We're going to do our All-Ireland quiz after a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, yeah, we're in a new normal, all right. Ukulele lessons on drive time. Huh? Ukulele lessons on drive time, yeah. Hey! Yeah, day 2 of our All-Ireland quiz. 5 questions each, and the last question is a goal question, which gives you an opportunity to score 3 points. Today, Donegal take on Mayo. Hello, Fiona McGinley.
Hello, Ray.
How are you? Whereabouts in Donegal are you?
I'm in Letterkenny right now. I'm
not afraid. Say that again.
I'm in Letterkenny.
Letterkenny. There you go. You improved. Your line improved just like that. And what's your story with the whole coronavirus, Fiona?
Well, I work for Ulster Tire Company, and currently we're still open. We're here to support the nurses, the doctors, the health workers, the ambulances and all of that get about and do their work.
Aha.
So we're here to work with them.
So you're making sure that all their tires aren't treadbare?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
it's
brilliant.
It's never been more important for them.
No, and we forget about all the people who support the people who are supporting us.
Yes.
And that's you and your company are those sort of people.
Well, this is a time when you really need to, you know, be sure to get around.
Yes, of course.
Your alternatives are quite limited.
And Fiona, have you ever represented your county in anything over the years?
No. That would be the
okay.
short answer.
Well, today is the first day. You're representing County Donegal and you're up against Mayo. And representing Mayo is Kim Sheridan. How are you doing, Kim?
Great.
Good to talk to you. What's your story?
Well, I'm a teacher in Cork National School and I teach second and third class and I'm currently off work and I'm homeschooling my own children as well.
Right. So they will be expecting high standards seeing as you're a school teacher.
Yeah, so would I.
The Minister for Education, Joe McHugh, was speaking on Galway Bay FM and he has said, I think we all knew that the schools aren't returning next Monday, as was initially planned. And we'll probably get certainty on that when we hear the press conference just after 4 o'clock. So you'll be tuned into that. So what ages are the children?
Kira's 10, Maeve's 8 and John's 4.
Have you ever represented your county in anything, Kim?
I did. Under 16 basketball in community games years ago.
Look at you! Was that in Mosny?
No, we only got to the county final.
Oh, you only got to, right, okay. Now, okay, say hello to Fiona.
Hi, Fiona.
Hello.
That's Kim there. Now, Fiona, if you could stand up for your county anthem, please. Here we go.
And I'd roll my Mary in my arms in the town of Sweet.
Mary from Dunlow, performed by Emmett Spiceland. That's your one. And for you, Kim, in Westport and Mayo, stand up for your county anthem.
And true Irish love caress me, and sweet Irish lips will bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo.
Moonlight in Mayo, Derek McCormack. There you go. You're ready to go now. Just a reminder about the final question, Fiona and Kim. I will give you a choice when we come to question five, your final question. You can go for a goal, which means you will get 3 points. All the other questions are worth a point. So I'll explain it when we get to it. Okay, good luck to you both. Let's get a bit of tension going. It's the All-Ireland Quiz. And Donegal, Fiona McGinley, takes on Mayo, Kim Sheridan. And Fiona, your first question is this. It's on the other county. What is the county town? That's the wrong one there. Hold on. Here we go. It's this one. Which of these lakes is in County Mayo? Loch Conn, Loch Ney, or Loch Allen?
Loch Conn.
Is the correct answer. Well done. And for you, Kim, what is the county town of Donegal? Is it Ballybuffet, Lifford, or Buncrana?
Lifford.
Is the correct answer. Good start for you both. Okay, Fiona, your second question. What singer released the latest James Bond theme song, No Time to Die? Billie Eilish, Rita Ora, or Lily Allen?
Billie Eilish.
Is the correct answer. Well done. And for you, Kim, what League of Ireland team are known as the Candy Stripes? Sligo Rovers, Derry City, or St. Patrick's Athletic? Derry City is correct. Well done. You two are good. Okay. Fiona, representing Donegal. What county is known as the Orchard County? Antrim, Armagh, or Down?
Armagh.
Is the correct answer. Well done. And for you, Kim, which Irish writer won the Booker Prize in 2018 for her novel Milkman? Sally Rooney, Anna Burns, or Marion Keyes?
Sally Rooney?
No, it was Anna Burns. Anna Burns. Okay. Still early days. So, Fiona, you're on 3. Kim, you're on 2. Question number 4 is an audio question. So, Fiona, can you name this Irish comedian and actor?
It's not easy. It's not easy. Even the title of that job is oppressive, isn't it? Stay at home, Mum. Stay at home. Don't be going anywhere. Don't be even thinking of going anywhere. You're a stay-at-home mom, so stay at home. And you do, and you go a bit mad. Because you make all the dinners and you make all the cakes and then you make them again, because if you make anything different, they don't like it.
Okay. Who's that there?
Don't know.
You don't know. Take a guess. No. No. Deirdre O'Kane. Deirdre O'Kane. Okay. Fiona, a chance for you to go level. Or sorry, Kim, a chance for you to go level. Can you name this Irish actor?
We went for some other kind of awards dinner and Bradley Cooper was there. Very nice guy, very kind of personable. Yeah, so who? That's how attractive he is. We were leaving and she was getting her phone out of her bag and I noticed something sparkling in it. And I realised that She had stolen his fork.
Who's that?
No idea.
No idea.
No.
Chris O'Dowd. Chris O'Dowd. Okay. So we're on to the final question. Now, Fiona, you were on 3 points. I'm going to give you the option of going for a goal question, which will give you another 3 points. Kim is on 2. So if she goes for the goal question, which you probably will have to go for, she'll be up to 5. So what are you going to go for, the goal question or the point question?
Goal.
You go for the goal question. Okay. Here it is. For 3 points, which will bring your score up to 6. Good luck with this. What Irish banknote had the image of Queen Maeve of Connacht during the 1980s? A £1, a £5, a £10 or a £20?
£1.
You say £1. £1 note is the correct answer.
Yes.
You're on to 6. Kim, you can't catch her.
Okay.
We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Thank you.
And listen, mind yourself and the children, and good luck with the homeschooling.
Okay, thanks. Well done, Fiona.
Thank you.
See you, Kim.
Bye.
Well done, Fiona. You are into the second round, and so too is your county of Donegal. Well done. Good luck. See you. We'll do it again tomorrow, the All-Ireland Quiz.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And we'll be making way for that government press conference about further measures to try and stop the spread of the coronavirus. And that should be happening around 4 o'clock or thereabouts. Now on the line, we have Christy Dignam. How are you doing, Christy?
How are you doing, Ray? How's it going?
Good to talk to you.
You too.
You've been in my thoughts because you're obviously immunocompromised, as they say. So have you been talking to your medical people about the situation?
Yeah, well, everything's kind of pulled at the moment. So in my situation, I've been, I'll go over to London, to the Royal Free in London to be, to get a diagnosis, and then they tell Beaumont what way to treat me. And I used to do that on the 30th of this month because my bloods had been going dodgy for the last couple of months. So I was kind of due to go. Normally when this happens, when I get in this situation, I go over to the Royal Free and they do a thing called a SAP scan. And basically what they do is they inject a radioactive dye into me, and then they put me through the scan, and wherever the dye has adhered to, that's where the cancer is. Wow. So I was to do that next on the 30th, and I can't do that now. So I don't know really what's, it's all up in the air, you know. It's terrifying.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. You sound a bit shook, Christy, because no, we've spoke loads of times over the years, and you're always in great form. You do sound a bit shook. So can you feel something yourself, that something's wrong, or are you getting blood tests?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. So, you know, when the thing usually attacks my liver and my kidneys and my heart, that's where it's been attacking up to now. So when my kidneys are being attacked, I start retaining fluids.
Yeah.
So I don't know, my hand starts swelling up and stuff like that, and me breathing it doesn't be as good as it should be. So I've been noticing signs like that. So I really need to be getting on to chemo, but it's just
and they can't do that test here, can they not?
No, they don't have this SAP scan is in the Royal. See, the Royal Free is a centre of excellence for amyloidosis, and they don't have this scan here. The only one in Europe is in London, so that's why I go over there to do that. So, you know, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But even apart from that, even just the coronavirus thing, I haven't been outside the house in 3 weeks. Because I was looking at, you were saying about immunocompromised. I was looking at the categories, you know, of people who are in danger. And every one of them I fell into, you know, so.
Go on, you've cancer, obviously. What other categories do you fit into?
Well, of heart failure.
Oh, yeah.
Because... Yeah. When before I got diagnosed, this thing had already done damage. So my heart works at about 2/3 of its capacity. So a third of my heart is completely wiped out. So I'd be considered under heart failure.
Yes, yeah.
And then because of the retention of fluid, it affects your breathing, which puts you into the respiratory.
The true thing, yes, yeah.
So the whole thing, like, there's a lot of categories. So yeah, as I said, I haven't seen my grandkids in 3 weeks. you know, and they're the light of my life. They kind of keep me going, you know.
And so of course, you can't, you'd gigs coming up as well.
Everything's cancelled at the moment, you know, just for the time being. But I mean, I'm not like anybody else. I mean, everybody's in the same boat. We've never seen anything. This is unprecedented, you know. We've never seen anything like this.
I was saying yesterday that you know, the people that we want to get the message out to don't listen to Radio 1.
Yes.
You know, they're younger people, they're gathering despite everything that's been said. So you did something over the weekend to try and get the message out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, basically, you know, I was thinking about when I was 18 or when I was 20, you think you're bulletproof, you know, you think nothing's going to harm you. And in a sense, 99% of the people at that age will be unharmed. But I did notice that a lot of the people that were, you know, from the research coming back, a lot of the people that were getting diagnosed positive were in the 18 to 30 kind of age group. And obviously we are seeing all the teenagers around. So, you know, a lot of the times they, you know, if a politician, if Leo Varadkar gets on, it just goes straight over the head. So we thought, well, maybe we can do something, you know, that will kind of connect with them, you know, and hopefully, because, you know, although it's not going to affect them directly, they're going to bring that back to their grandparents. They all have grandparents and, you know, brothers and sisters who might have respiratory conditions,
problems,
you know.
So
we're just trying to get it to them. So that's why we did
it. So I was telling them about it. So David Merriman put it together and you've...
Yes.
It's sort of like it's a 4-minute reeling in the ears special on the COVID virus using Crazy World as the soundtrack.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's just because, you know, even when you look in Dublin, you know, and you see the TV reels of Dublin now, it's like something from an apocalypse.
Yes,
you know,
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the 50s. We used to sit looking at these movies and things like this, and now it's happened, you know.
You're a wordsmith, you know, you use words. Like people are going uncharted waters, unprecedented, but surreal. But you run out of words to describe it, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't overemphasize this, you know. You can't overstate it because it's unprecedented, you know. It's something we don't know how long it's going to go on. Like, say, a month ago, my biggest worry was whether Celtic would get handed the championship. You know, that was my biggest concern with this coronavirus. You know, saying, because some are saying call the league null and void, another are saying you should get it. And that was my biggest concern, you know. And every day, you know, new concerns come about, you know, because the thing gets more serious. But I think also at the end of this, right, not to be defeatist, and, you know, I think at the end of this, we're going to get benefits that we can't even imagine now. There's going to be benefits from this, you know. You look at the likes of Vienna, you see the fish flying around Vienna in the canals. I mean, that's unbelievable. I've noticed some beautiful skies in the evening here as well. I think there's less pollution or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe we've all just time to appreciate the pink skies at night. Time to appreciate the two little robins on a branch out in the back garden. You know, that sort of thing.
That's what we need to do. We need to slow down on the globalisation of the world, and maybe this will help that happen, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, I said it yesterday, and I'm not the only person saying it, but we couldn't continue the way we were going. You know, like the consumerism, the fast fashion and all that, and buying online and this. We couldn't continue like that. And this is...
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's great. I think this is like nature's way of putting the screech and break and saying, hold on, you know, if you're not going to do it, Mother Nature will do it. And it's, you know, it's strange. It's strange.
So what's your situation? You're at home with...
I'm just at home at the moment. Catherine, she'll go out and do whatever necessary shopping. We try to see. I didn't want to go out and buy a load of bulk because I thought that was scandalous. When I seen, you know, I seen some photographs of older people going to supermarkets that were empty because people had, you know, bought in bulk and stuff. And I seen Piers Morgan yesterday on the thing. I don't know if you've seen him, but he was saying. Look, he said, we were talking about the younger people there. He was saying the people that are suffering most of this would be the older people who fought a war for us.
Yes.
You know, these people fought a war. He says, we're not asking you to get into the trenches for 5 years and kill each other. We're asking you to go home and look at the telly. You know, it's not a big deal. you know, just, you know, it's not, it's not much to ask. Just do it, you know. Yeah.
Why do you think the message isn't getting through? Like, my mother was saying that the language is too soft. Social distancing, you know, we need to be a little bit more forceful about it.
I think so. Like, I've seen some, there's these corona pranks going around where there's this one guy licking, I don't know if you've seen it, he was licking a load of shopping trolleys. Yeah. And then another fellow was running his tongue along a shopping, shelf in a shop. You know, it's just ridiculous, you know.
That's very sick behavior.
Absolutely. And there should be a repercussion of that. There should be a consequence of that. You know, you can't let people do that. And, you know, in regards to how funny that is to them, they're spreading a disease that's going to kill people, you know. It's heavy. It's heavy stuff.
So when Catherine goes out and gets the shopping, then when she comes back in,
what's the routine then? Well, she's obviously pushed into the shower and she's made, you know, wash her hands. And, you know, I'd give her my card when she's going up the shop so there's no cash changes hands. And I said, now just use one finger. If you have to type in the number, if you're getting more than 30 euros, if you can't use the contactless.
Yeah.
I said, see what finger you use. I said, don't touch anything on any of the shelves. I said, don't talk to anybody. So that's basically the way we've been, you know.
And how are you occupying your time?
I'm doing a bit of writing and stuff. We had a single coming out, and it was supposed to be out actually this week. So we're in the middle of writing an album. So I'm kind of continuing on with that and just whatever I can do.
There'll have to be a song or two or three about this situation. Yeah.
But it's kind of down in a good way. You don't want to be too obvious, you know.
No,
and you don't want to be capitalising on a crisis either, you know. So it's a very tricky situation to write about.
And Catherine's a good form, is she?
Yeah, she's out in the garden there, doing a bit of gardening, but that's her bag, you know.
Yeah, our gardens will never look as good. What about? Are you FaceTiming, or what social media do you use to keep in contact with the grandchildren?
That's doing a FaceTime with the grandkids. That's the only way you can kind of get in touch with them. And we have relations in Australia. We're doing a bit of Skyping with the relations in Australia. And so it's cool, you know. There's some things that, these are people you wouldn't normally even talk to, but because of this crisis.
Yeah.
You've time to slow down and look at the robin on the branch, you know.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Christy,
there was two of them.
There was actually two of them.
Yeah.
I know, that's unusual.
The only reason there's two of them is because they're breeding at the moment.
Oh, that is right.
Because robins are very territorial. So when you see a robin, there won't be another robin within 2 kilometres of it, unless it's a partner. There's a bit of useless information.
Look at you, Christy Dignam from Birdwatch Ireland.
Well, I breed birds, so
That's right. Yeah.
So I still have the boards as well. That's another thing that's keeping.
There's your other phone gone.
That's Catherine's phone gone.
Before I let you go, so you'll be hoping to get back over to London as quickly as possible. That's
what I'm hoping for. Or at least if they say, listen, in the meantime, we can anticipate that this is probably what's happening at the moment. You know, by my symptoms, they should be able to gather around about what's happening to me at the moment.
Right.
So they hopefully will give a prognosis to bone mount. But it's even getting into bone mount, because on my appointments, I've had different appointments that I had to go to keep things checked, and they've all been cancelled over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
So it's even getting to do that. So every day is a new day, you know.
Yeah. You sound in better spirits than you did at the beginning of the conversation anyway.
Well, cheered me up, Ray.
Right. Christy, always a pleasure to talk to you. Remind yourself, you're in our thoughts.
Stay safe.
Okay,
God bless.
Right, Christy. Christy Dignam there. And I see now on News One that Sharon Violon's on, and there's an empty podium there, so we're awaiting that announcement. And while we're waiting for that, we'll go to Connor Pope. How are you doing, Connor?
How you getting on, Ray?
Good. So we're expecting an announcement here that could be total lockdown or maybe partial lockdown. That was the phrase you used last week.
That's right.
But before we get to that, you were writing in the Times overnight about holidaymakers. And I suppose as this goes on and the Minister for Education says that the schools aren't going back, that thoughts of holidays are entering people's minds. They're sitting at home doing nothing else. And they're wondering, will they be travelling? Won't they be travelling? What about the money situation? So what's the answer?
Yeah. No, I think it's really important to say that, as you know and as your listeners know, the crisis that has engulfed the world is first and foremost a public health one. And it's also a crisis which has seen hundreds of thousands of people in Ireland losing their jobs, and pubs and restaurants and shops and hotels. They've all closed overnight. And it's almost inconceivable that we would be in this position. So it does seem like talking about holidays is a bit trite, a little bit casual. And I don't mean it in that sense, because that's not what I'm talking about at all. But when I tell you, Ray, that I've never had the volume of complaints and queries and concerns from readers of the Irish Times talking about what's been happening to them in terms of their holidays. And it was kind of crystallised for me. Well, yesterday I was onto the British Consumer Group, which one of the most important consumer watchdogs in Europe, and they were expressing a fear that all the long-established systems of European-wide travel protections are at risk of breaking down as a result of COVID-19. Mm. And what I've been hearing are people are booking flights and then they're struggling to get refunds. What I've been hearing are people have booked flights, but then government lockdowns in other countries have meant that they can't travel to that particular country, but the flights are still listed as scheduled, which means they can't get a refund. The airlines are offering vouchers instead. Tour operators, which have had to curtail or cancel holidays because people can't fly to particular countries, are offering people vouchers. And, you know, there's a huge swirling amount of confusion across the country and across the world about what is happening to the tourist sector. Now, if you'd asked me this question 3 weeks ago, it was very simple. If an airline cancelled a flight, you were entitled to a refund or a rerouting or a rebooking.
Yes.
And that was just the end of the story. But I totally understand that when everybody has to cancel their flights, that it becomes extraordinarily difficult for the airlines to process every single refund at the same time. So you still do have the right to a refund, but I think maybe people need to draw a breath and say you don't have to apply for the refund immediately. Just let things settle down, give the airlines time to get their systems in order,
okay,
and then go about seeking your refund.
Connor, thanks for that, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow about that, because I'm looking up and Leo Varadkar has taken up his position. So we hand over now to Mary Wilson. Mary.